In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our epistle this morning, St. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says something remarkably beautiful. In chapter 1 of his letter, starting in verse 9, Paul, who has just heard the report of their faithfulness at the church there and their love for Christ, says this: "And so, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Those are anointed words. I'm not sure we could ever think of a more beautiful and meaningful prayer for a group of Christians. What more could you ask for in life than what Paul prayed for the community of faith in Colossae? Paul first prays that each of us would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Sometimes I think we all struggle a bit to say, gee, what is God's will for my life? It's not an easy question, is it? Paul prays that they would know God's will for them. He doesn't pray for them to become successful. He doesn't pray for them to become wealthy. Doesn't even pray for them to have good health, things that I would probably pray for. Doesn't even pray for their children to be blessed. No, Paul knows that the most important aspect of our lives is the health of our soul and inner spiritual life. To be able to discern God's will for our lives. Paul knows that there is a great chasm between a life wise in the ways of the world and a life wise in the ways of God. Inner joy, inner peace comes from being centered in the one whose life alone can provide us with and fill us with His purpose. Many people, particularly those of us who have grown up in the West, spend our lives chasing after that elusive thing that the world defines to be success. Career, popularity, wealth, all of which are not bad in and of themselves, But once you're going down the path of achievement as the primary focus of your life, you discover that all of those extra hours you put in at the office do not fulfill our ultimate meaning and purpose in life. Jeff Bezos, who created the Amazon empire, has discovered painfully that joy and inner peace and ultimate satisfaction do not come with having $150 billion. And the news of late about the divorce he is now going through would suggest that his gifts and his talents, his remarkable business acumen, is not ultimately fulfilling in his life. No, Saint Paul would never have prayed for Jeff Bezos to become the success he has become in the eyes of the world. Because Saint Paul knew that what really matters is that each one of us would be, in his words, filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding to lead a life worthy of the Lord. So let me ask you what might on the surface appear to be a fairly flippant question. If I could line you up in two lines this morning, which one would you choose? In the first line, I would guarantee that you would purchase the winning Mega Millions ticket. Sounds pretty good. But in the second line, I would guarantee to be filled with the knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The choice is yours. Which line would you join? Well, I don't know which line you would choose, and I'm certainly not going to ask you to go on record. But I do know this about your choice. Your choice would reveal what you determine to value the most in life. Paul prays this for the believers in the church in Colossae, that each member of the church would lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing day by day in the knowledge of God. And so a good question for Jim this morning and for you this morning is this. Jim, are you leading a life worthy of the Lord? Is my life fully pleasing to Him? Is my life bearing fruit as evidenced by good works for others? Or do I spend my time mostly seeking to please myself? So if I look into the very mirror of my soul, can I say that my life is centered in His life? Or is it self-centered? And which way of living ultimately will lead me to joy and to God's peace? A few minutes ago, I suggested the answer, not my answer, but God's answer, I will be saying in a few minutes, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. How He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And why is that so true? Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Well, I think we know the answer. When we live our lives with generosity, that means we are living life relationally. And it is loving relationships in life that matter. This began with God Himself. God is triune in nature. Even if God had never chosen to create the world, He is relational in His own nature. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This should tell us how important relationships are to God. But of course, being in relationships within the Godhead was not enough for God. So He creates man, made in His image, because God yearned for more than Himself. The amazing thing about this is His threefold nature was perfect. So He trades perfection to enter into the mess of human sin. He knew beforehand that the creation of man would come with devastation and heartbreak for him. But this love for a disobedient human race, a fallen human race, gave God the opportunity to show us all what love truly is. True love is about sacrifice, putting the beloved first, even when that very beloved nails your son to a cross. So what was God's blessing in His relational nature and creation of man? What was He blessing? In the reading from Colossians this morning, Paul shares it. magnificently when he says to the church at Colossae and the Church of St. Bede's Anglicans, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." St. Paul is saying to us, do we realize the magnitude of what God's action on the cross has done for us? I hope so. God is relational, and he loves even we sinners who would nail him to a cross. And thereby, by that act of love, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion that darkness holds over us. So I close this morning by simply urging us all to realize that if you would have stood in the line with the winning lottery ticket, you would have made a terrible choice. May we be wise enough to know whom can give us his peace, his joy, and his unending love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.